All right, so in my weird role that I have right now as the chair of the main conference of the United Church of Christ, so our 153 churches in the state, I get to worship with all sorts of clergy and congregations sometimes and see special activities, and it's lots of fun. And I can trip over a little mallet. There I go. When you hang out with that many church folks and preachers, you learn a kind of additional layer of church manners. One is when you have been invited to lead some other part of the service other than the sermon, you must avoid the temptation to turn whatever part you are leading into another sermon. I'm going to try and resist that temptation today, and maybe, but also pray for your grace. You see, the preacher for today and for the rest of the month is Jesus. Today we're going to start a 3-week walk through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as it is found in the Gospel of Matthew. So hear the preacher Jesus, and I will probably have something to say too, sorry. As he begins his sermon, offering blessings, or as we call this section of the sermon now, the Beatitudes, listen for the blessing that Jesus offers.
This morning's reading is from Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 12th verses. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So endeth the reading, and may God add his blessing of understanding. Amen.
So bless is a word that does a lot in our culture. You know that old joke about, you know, languages that have, you know, 100 words for snow or something like that? In a lot of social media these days, bless seems to me kind of beautiful vacation or time with kids. That seems to be roughly what it translates to in terms of when blessedness is, you know, attached to a picture or something like that. We are still, as a culture, really worried about your soul when you sneeze, although that's going out of favor, I've noticed. If you are from the south of our country, you realize that this is a word that has endless permutations, and only about 60% of them are positive. If you're from the north and you have relatives or friends from the south, I invite you to kind of reinterpret all of the blessings you may have received at this point and decide if you still want them. The blessings, not the friends. What do you bless? What have you had blessed? What blessings do you seek? I have blessed plenty of people in my life. That's always powerful. I've prayed for them in times of new jobs, marriages, and so I've blessed a lot of rings. I've blessed a divorce. I've blessed a moving truck and the ones driving it. I've blessed babies just newly born, and I have blessed people as they breathe their last breath. And both of those still make me cry. I have obviously blessed a whole mess of food. I have blessed pets, alive and dead. Houses, cars. I've blessed a lot of first paychecks when jobs get started. I've blessed water and wine and cherry and grape juice and found that people found joy in all of those things. I have blessed one very fine scotch, but that was a less liturgical setting. Candlesticks, a table, guitars, the list goes on. We are hungry for blessings, it seems. And you can tell just from that list that the blessing that people are looking for can vary a lot. Mostly, I think people hope for good fortune in all these blessings, or maybe just a little offering of love in that moment, a connection. Maybe a moment to pause and recognize the blessing we are receiving just now in togetherness, in prayer. If not that moment, maybe that food or the chance to know blessings that may come at a table or with another or in the light of those candlesticks. But the word and the activity obviously carry a whole bunch. So Jesus comes and talks to us about blessedness and blessing today. And what that means, as he begins this most incredible sermon, we're going to read through three big sections of it, but it goes on all the way through the seventh chapter of Matthew. One that is challenging. The writer Kurt Vonnegut once bemoaned the fact that there were some who were more than happy to carve the Ten Commandments into any public building that they could, but very few who would place these blessings there. And he imagined a world in which a wall of the Pentagon was inscribed with, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Or every courtroom was inscribed, "Blessed are those who are merciful." And then he had a good laugh. We translate Jesus' meaning here as blessed, and I just recognize that in there is all the complication of the blessings that we have looked for in our lives. Some of you may have heard translations that use the word happy. Happy are those who are poor in spirit. It's kind of not either one of those and a little bit more than both of them at the same time. Sometimes I've translated this as satisfied or full or honored. Mostly I've tended to say whole. And that's the radical, ironic, kind of funny. Remember, I keep saying Jesus' teaching is always upside down from the world. Whole will be the people who are poor in spirit. Whole will be the mourners. Whole will be the meek, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful. The ones who will be whole, the ones who are whole, are the ones who know the lack in this teaching. The ones who hunger, the ones who are not content, maybe most of all because their hunger points them to what could be. It makes us ask those questions. If you have never been hungry, can you know the worth of food? Really? If we have not mourned, we may not know the true value and preciousness of our lives. If we have not grieved injustice, how will we treasure righteousness? Put another way, the call is to know and name our own need and find God in the mirror image that meets us in the lives of others. It's the start of compassion. It's to let our own need for comfort, for home on the earth, for fullness of justice, to let that need open us up to compassion and thus to spread Jesus' teaching and God's realm, which it promises, to find in one another the invitation to wholeness. It has been a hard week for wholeness as an idea. It's been hard to mourn the separation and grief and pain of some of the relationships that have been broken. Been reflecting on wholeness and brokenness a little bit as we watch the final steps of the United Kingdom departing from the European Union. In Washington, leaders on both sides of the aisle found ways to decry our divisions and bemoan the dysfunction of our national governance, all while somehow declaring themselves completely powerless and unable to do anything about it. Rather than hungering for righteousness, there is a question if we are hungry for it at all, or if we might even recognize it. My hope is that in this moment, there is blessing. That in the lack, in the pain of this moment, there is the Spirit drawing us towards more wholeness. More hope. The blessing and the wholeness held out by Jesus from the mountaintop is this: to reach for what is not yet. But we believe with full hearts, and God will be. That we're never to cease from calling out for the justice, the mercy, and the peace we know we are lacking right now, but has been offered to us in the wholeness of God and neighbor and all creation. Jesus tells us of all sorts of persecutions that we may or will know if we follow in this path. But he also promises that it is the way of the prophets and of the Holy Spirit and of a coming reign of God that will dissolve all the comfortable empires of his day and ours. Dissolve whatever contentment we might have in ourselves, but fail to share with others. These blessings and this whole Sermon on the Mount will ask us as hearers of the Word both the Scripture and the Word the Christ, who are we? Will we be a community and individuals who are hungry for righteousness, who seek peace, who reach for mercy? And if we are hungry for those things, will we, with God's blessing and God's Spirit, do something about it? There is blessing and wholeness here. Will we reach for it? The hymn writer Shirley Arena Murray died last Saturday. She was born in New Zealand in 1931, and she was kind of Methopresba everything. I think there are some folks that might relate around this. She was, above all, committed, hungry, to find new and alive words for Christ's call. Both of our hymns today are from her. In her time, she fought apartheid and the spread of nuclear weapons. She wrote hymns, hymns, and more hymns. She and her husband preached and led churches and congregations. She sang of the wholeness and blessing we might hope for today. In 2009, she wrote this hymn. Where does compassion start? How does compassion grow? Her seed is at the heart of every faith we know. Compassion honors others' place, dethroning self with willing grace. Dynamic is the power that heals, restores, and gives, connecting at the core with everyone who lives, transcending culture, color, race. Compassion builds the house of peace. Of all the blessings we seek, may we find this one, a deep and abiding hunger to grow in the compassion of God which has been offered to us, if we will but share it with a hungry world for the building up of God's coming house of peace. Amen.